Well, welcome back to the show, Tom.
Thank you.
Consumer Guide Automotive. Tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive.
Yeah, thanks. We've been around since 1967. We are ConsumerGuide.com and the CG Daily Drive blog. All our new car and used car reviews and all our Best Buy picks live at ConsumerGuide.com. We try to have some fun with the news and fun with car stuff. And additionally, our deep drive test drives live at the blog. So check out both of those.
All right. Very, very cool. And Tom joins us every month to talk all things car related and answer your automotive questions at 312-981-7200. And we're going to talk about some car news. And, you know, and you always write some stuff for the blog that is very entertaining, Tom.
Well, I'm glad you think so.
And I love the 10 great car grills.
Oh, good.
I love them. And I hope everybody goes to the website to check out the actual pictures of them, because some of them are just badass.
Yeah, those are some cool cars.
Very cool. All right, Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
Tom Appel is with us, and he's going to be with us for a while. We're talking about car news and any automotive questions you have. Call us or text us now, 312-981-7200. Hey, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday. Yeah. Get your Two for Tuesday requests in now. One artist, two songs. Get them in now, 312-981-7200. And use that number also to text us and call us right now, because Tom Appel is with us from Consumer Guide Automotive. And we're going to be talking about cars and automotive stuff and answering your questions. So 312-981-7200. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you.
All right. So what are you currently driving?
Oh, glad you asked. I am driving a 2017 Toyota Prius Prime. This is the Toyota Prius plug-in hybrid version. So you can plug it in for about 25 miles of pure electric driving, after which the car simply operates like a regular Prius hybrid. Nice car, pretty smooth operation, and one of our drivers was able to drive it for a full week without ever using gas, which is kind of what it's for.
That's cool. Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very, very cool. What else have you driven since the last time we talked to you? Anything stand out?
I did. I just drove something fascinating. I just drove the Lexus LC500. Lexus is redoing its big sedan. That's its LS sedan. And when they brought it out, they decided to do a big coupe version as well, which is something they had never done before. So this is just a really big, slightly overstyled, gorgeous Ferrari-looking sedan, but it's a Lexus. But it's a Lexus. I love driving it. It's just packed with Naugahyde interior.
Wow.
It's just the coolest car in the world. I'm glad Lexus built it. It's not going to sell very well, but it's a fantastic flagship for the brand, and it's truly, truly an impressive piece.
Very cool. All right, cool. And all of this stuff, you guys write about all of it at ConsumerGuide.com.
That's right.
All right. And let's talk a little bit about Hyundai, and they are the car, the Genesis, is actually running neck and neck with BMW and Porsche as a luxury car.
Yeah, Genesis, I don't know how many people know this, and as noted in recent articles, awareness of the brand is fairly low. There used to be a car called the Hyundai Genesis. Genesis was since spun off and is now a luxury brand. They sell two products, the G90, which is sort of a Mercedes-Benz S-Class BMW 7 Series size vehicle, and a car called the G80, which is more of a mid-size sedan. Those are the only two products they currently sell. But they've done decidedly well in initial quality, J.D. Power's initial quality testing, and in Auto Pacific testing as well, up there with luxury brands, and in fact, topping a couple of the lists, and this is pretty exciting.
Wow.
Today. Now, these products aren't selling well yet, but this is nascent. They're trying to take this and spin it off as a brand. They just have two products right now, but it's a good start, and they're very nice products.
And what are they? What's the price range?
Substantially less than German counterparts. I recently drove a G80 Sport that came in right around $58,000, much less than a BMW 5 Series might cost. The bigger car, the G90, gets close to, I want to say the one I drove got close to $80,000. Again, much cheaper than a German version of that vehicle might go for.
Okay. And Hyundai, when you think of Hyundai, obviously you think of compact, right?
Yeah, I mean, Hyundai got its start in the U.S. selling the Excel, which was, frankly, a crummy little compact car, but it has grown so much since then.
Obviously. So that's interesting to keep an eye on Genesis and see what happens there.
Yeah, it's entirely possible they make a go of this.
Okay, interesting. All right, let's see. We got some people who are calling in. Texters are calling in with their questions. Any car or automotive-related question, Tom Appel is here, 312-981-7200. Here's Alan on WGN. Hi, Alan.
Morning.
Morning.
Hey, I have a question about the 2018 Dodge Charger. My employer is replacing my car. What's the difference between the 17 and the 18?
If you're not looking at a high-end like Hellcat version or the Hellcat wide body or anything like that, there are no big changes for 2018.
Okay, yeah, it's a straight Hemi change.
Oh, yeah, so you're going to go just 5.7-liter Hemi, that's the first upgrade engine. Yeah, nice engine in that car. No, not a lot of changes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Alan, take care. Boy, Alan works for a company, he gets a Charger?
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Jeez, man. Wow, what company I should have asked what company Alan works for. Wow. Oh, boy. All right. So let's get back to some of the other. Now, there's a company in China called Great Wall.
Yes.
And they're making a bid for the Fiat Chrysler Jeep unit, correct?
Yes.
What's going on there? That's a big story.
That's a huge story. People who have been following what's been going on with Chrysler, we might remember that around 2010, Chrysler was forced into a merger with Fiat. To become FCA, Fiat Chrysler Automobiles. Since that time, the steward of that company, Sergio Marchionne, has done a pretty nice job keeping it afloat. And they've really developed the Jeep brand, and they've really developed the Ram brand. Ram is mostly pickups, and the Jeep brand, of course, is mostly crossovers. But they've largely neglected the Chrysler and Dodge brands. Now, what they've been trying to do is find a suitable partner, and rather famously for the last year or so, Sergio Marchionne has been trying to talk to General Motors about a merger, and General Motors is like, we don't really need your help. But all this talk about merging has made other companies aware that they're ready to be picked up. So Great Wall, which is one of the seven independent companies in China, a very big automaker, they sold about 1.3 million vehicles last year, is looking to buy the Jeep division of FCA.
Okay, Tom, hang on, okay? We have to break for news, but I want to hear more about this story and the implications of it, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, Tom, hang on a second. There's Tom Appel from Consumer Guide Automotive. Any and all of your automotive questions, 312-981-721. We'll get back to this big story about Great Wall trying to get Fiat Chrysler Jeep unit after the news, which is next. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. I'm your overnight dude here weekdays, 2 to 5 a.m. Dave Plyer is in for Steve Grzanich this morning for the opening bell, and Steve Cochran is in at 6. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to talk about 18 movie quotes that everybody gets wrong. And then we're going to talk about some of the greatest movie lines and quotes of all time and movies that you quote from, you and your friends. They might not necessarily be very popular movies. They might just be like inside jokes to you guys. But we're going to talk about movie dialogue and movie lines and stuff that you quote. And also, Skip Skipley is on the way. He's in the jet. And we will have another edition of pop-up video, so that means all the cats in America who were freaked out by the eclipse earlier are going to be freaked out by Esmeralda's voice. So that's coming up in a little bit. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Talk and text. Also, two for Tuesday requests. And Tom Appel is here from Consumer Guide Automotive. And we are talking car stuff. And if you have any automotive questions, now's the time to text or call at 312-981-7200. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, before the break, we started to talk about this really big story out of China where Great Wall is considering a bid for Fiat Chrysler Jeep unit. And this is a big story. So recap us again.
Yeah, the long and short of it is that Chrysler has, I should say FCA, has been actively seeking a partner. Great Wall, very well-financed Chinese company, doesn't want to partner, it just wants to buy the Jeep unit, which is by far Chrysler's most successful unit. The question is whether or not Chrysler would sell it. And one of the most important facts here is that Chrysler has a lot of debt, between $20 and $25 billion worth of debt. Would they sell Jeep to get that debt erased? It's possible. So this is all worth watching. And this is just the first salvo. Other companies are going to come in and look at this. If people smell that Jeep is available, buyers are going to come out of the woodwork. So we're just seeing the beginning of this story, I think.
Wow. Okay. So this is going to shake things up then.
It really is. And there's a really big question here that needs to be asked as well. Will American shoppers, who are the primary shoppers for Jeep products, though it is an international brand, will they look at Jeep the same way if it's owned by a Chinese company?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. Hey, how did Chrysler get into so much debt?
They got into a lot of debt when they were forced into the merger with Fiat back in 2010.
Okay.
The company was partially owned by both the American by the healthcare version divisions of the United Auto Workers and the Canadian equivalent. So that was one of the places. They also took on debt to finance a bunch of stuff they needed to do to update product. Yeah, so they're sitting on more debt than Ford or General Motors, but they're a smaller company.
Okay. All right, we'll see what happens with that. Great Wall looking for a partner right there. So Russ texts in, can you tell Tom I love the picture of the old classic Thunderbird on his Twitter account?
Oh, thank you. Not a Thunderbird. That's actually an old Firebird.
It's an old Firebird, right.
An old Firebird, yeah.
Right, yeah. By the way, you can follow Tom at car_guy_Tom. That's at Twitter, car_guy_Tom for that. What year was that? Was that Firebird that you...
I believe that's a 70. It's in profile. Beautiful car.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. All right. Let's see. We got another text here. Evelyn says, I'm interested in an SUV. Can you tell me which model is the safest? I'm looking to purchase one that is under $40,000.
I can't pick safest. In Consumer Guide, we generally avoid using the word safe because we don't test ourselves.
Yeah.
So safe is really a function of the testing done by the IIHS or by NHTSA. NHTSA being the government agency and IIHS being the independent insurance company agency. Most crossovers right now, especially the midwines, pass all the tests with flying colors. So safety isn't that much of a question. Safety is a question of what you want to buy on the vehicle. These days there's lane departure warning and obstacle detection and that stuff, which is all very important. If you want to pay for that stuff, it's available on most SUVs and generally under $40,000.
Okay. 218 area code says, how well do electric car batteries work in the winter, and how long do you think the Fed tax cuts for them will last?
Two awesome questions. Consumer Guide recently tested a Kia Soul EV, the electric version of the Kia Soul, year-round, and we saw electric range, battery range, drop by about 30% in the dead of winter.
Mm.
So a significant drop. But that said, it had pretty good range to start with, and we were able to make that work for us. You simply need to buy about a third more range than you need, and that's a consideration when you buy an electric car. Also, you need to consider that the battery is going to degrade slightly over 5 years of ownership, so you want to factor that in as well. As for the federal tax credits, there's a lot of pressure in Washington to drop them. Right now, it's $7,500 on most EVs, and that's a tax credit that comes off the first year of your taxes if you qualify for the full amount. That may go away or it may be reduced, but I don't think it's going to go on for much longer.
Okay.
And it's worth watching that at Tesla, they're about to run out of it because it only counts for the first 200,000 units.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay. The electric car battery question about the dead of winter. Have you guys tested different kinds of electric car batteries? Do they all come from one or two manufacturers?
Yes, they do. There's like two, three manufacturers of electric car batteries, and the only ones out there right now use lithium-ion technology. There is no other one. There used to be nickel metal hybride that's gone away, and it sort of disappeared before I started testing cars. So it's all the same chemistry right now.
So basically the car, was it a Tesla you tested?
No, it was a Kia Soul EV.
A Kia Soul. Uh-huh. That's comparable to most than electric batteries, just for people who are, you know, who would like to know if there's a difference.
Yep, yeah, that was a 27 kilowatt hour battery, about the same size as what's in most electric vehicles right now.
Okay, all right. Let's see. 252 area code says, I only have $1,000 to spend, but I have to have a car. Which makes and models should I look for, and from what years?
Oh, that's so tough. At $1,000, I think you just get something that seems reliable. I wouldn't worry about a brand at that point. I'd look for something that looks like it's been cared for.
Yeah, that's tough, man, for a grand.
Yeah, that's really tough to get something running and in good condition for a grand.
Yeah. All right. Now, speaking of older cars, I love this. Not yet dead, the internal combustion engine gets a reprieve. I found this story to be kind of fascinating. They're actually making new cars with the combustible engine.
Yeah, the internal combustion engine, the reason we're talking about it being dead at all is because companies like Toyota have mentioned that they don't anticipate making them past 2035. That's a line in the sand. And you have cities in Europe that are talking about outlawing internal combustion by certain dates. So it feels like it's dead, but it's getting more and more and more efficient. We've known and loved the internal combustion engine since, you know, the dawn of the car.
Yeah.
It's gotten better and it's gotten cleaner. But there's a lot of technology now that's really interesting. We're now using direct injection. We're now using cylinder deactivation. And then there's all these other technologies to make it work. And the big thing that's going to happen now in the interim is something called the 48-volt hybrid, which is a cheap hybrid system that gets you something like 80% of the efficiency of a hybrid for about 20% of the cost. And we're going to stop calling these cars hybrids, and that technology is just going to be there. And I think that that's going to be the last major step before we go electric.
You know, stop calling it hybrid is just because when you say the term hybrid, it brings a lot of baggage with it.
It sort of does.
Yeah.
And it sounds kind of greeny, and it's really not at this point. It's just efficiency.
Now, if this internal combustion engine comes back, because of all the technology that's happening now, it's never going to make like a massive comeback, correct?
No, I think the slow march to electric is absolutely going to happen.
Yeah.
Nothing we can do to stop it.
Yeah. Okay. Now, if they're making new cars within the internal combustion engine, how easy is it to take it to a dealership or a mechanic to get it fixed, considering all the new stuff that's out there?
Oh, no, no problem. No, the IC engine, it's often called the ICE, internal electric combustion engine. It's out there. Everyone's driving them. It's
not a problem.
Not a problem.
Okay. Speaking of retro, the Volkswagen bus is going to return.
Yeah, this is cool. Volkswagen has been faking us out with this for a couple of iterations. They've had a couple of cool concepts of the old microbus, but they're now promising to build it by 2022.
Yeah, I love that. I love that vehicle. I do. And it's going to be electric, correct?
Yeah, it's going to be part of Volkswagen's ID lineup, and the ID stands.
Well, we lost Tom. Okay. Let's get Tom back while I take a break. How's that? We were talking about the VW retro Volkswagen bus coming back, and it's in the electric form. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll take some more of your phone calls and your texts, questions about automotive stuff, 312-981-7200. And we've got some stuff that that Tom wrote for the blog, which is very entertaining, including 10 great car grills. We'll get into that as well. And you can follow Tom at Twitter at car_guy_Tom. We'll take a break and come back with more after this. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. 2 for Tuesday, everybody. Here. Get your requests in now, 312-981-7200. That's the number for 2 for Tuesday requests. And if you have any and all automotive-related questions, text or call us at 312-981-7200. Tom Appel, who is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, he contributes to their Daily Drive blog. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And we got a little interrupted for some reason. Tom got cut off before the break. Hey, Tom.
Hello.
Welcome back. We were talking about the retro Volkswagen bus coming back.
Yeah, the ID Buzz, then that's going to be a 7-passenger minivan-ish vehicle. Looks like a microbus, then we should see that by 2022. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and the ID thing, that's like a new brand for Volkswagen?
It is. That's going to indicate they're electric vehicles. They're pure electric vehicles, so there won't be gas versions of these vehicles. BMW is doing something similar with their i-series vehicle, the i3 and the i8.
And this is ID Buzz, and Buzz is a play off the word bus.
I think it is, and yeah. I think it might be a cute play off what people used to do in microbuses.
You're absolutely right. All right, let's go to a couple of more texts here. 630 area code says, thoughts on Tesla Model 3 that just came out?
My thoughts are, I'm very interested to know how many people are keeping their deposits down. Initially, the $35,000 vehicle doesn't exist. It looks like they're going to be selling a lot of cars that come in at $51,000 to $52,000 equipped with a long-range battery pack and a luxury package and things like that. It seems like people like them when they get them, but it's going to take forever for them to ramp up.
Mm.
So we'll see where this is a really important stage for Tesla. If they get past this, don't go broke, and actually get their capacity up to where they can meet all the demand for this vehicle,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to call them viable, but we'll see.
Okay. All right. 815 area code says, do you have any information on the new Ranger and Bronco and if they will be available with manual transmission?
Wow. Yeah, a lot of information about them. Ranger is coming first. I think that's going to be a 2019 vehicle. The Bronco should be a 2020. They are both midsize SUVs, not crossovers. These are full body-on-frame vehicles. The Ranger is a real truck with a frame and a bed, and they're back in the small midsize truck market, and the Bronco will be an SUV based on that. Should be available with a small turbocharged 4 and then a bigger V6. No word on pricing, but expect them to be priced similar to like the Chevy Colorado. and GMC Canyon, things like that.
Okay. All right. So recently, and this is, he wrote about this for Daily Drive. Your daughter has begun to drive.
She has
got her license and all that stuff. And we talked a little bit about how you felt about that the last time. And you wrote a piece about this this teen defensive driving school. There's a training course that's offered by Audubon County Club, and that's in Joliet, Illinois. Tell us about that adventure.
Yeah, that was great. I tagged along with my kid as she went on this. This is the Audubon Country Club is a private track and club up in Joliet, Illinois. Nice club, and they offer a lot of amenities there if you have a lot of money and you like racetracks and you have cool cars.
Right.
But one of the things that they do is they offer this course. This course is $389. It takes a full day, so this is a nine-hour commitment, plus you have to get to Joliet. But it's fabulous. It involves a couple of hours of classroom work and some excellent behind-the-wheel exercises that are done in the club's BMWs. They have a fleet of cars just for this.
But wow.
They do wet-weather traction testing. They do lane avoidance traction testing. And they do this fantastic thing where they rig a small crossover with these slide-away rear wheels that make it feel like the back end is slipping out to create a condition called oversteer. And with that vehicle, you're supposed to drive around a very tight course. These are fantastic exercises.
Wow. How'd your daughter do?
Yeah, she loved it. You know, even my cynical daughter admitted that she had a good time doing this, and she learned a lot.
That's great. How much is it?
The course is $389, and depending on your insurance company, you may get all that money back as a discount on your insurance because your kid completed the course.
Okay. Now, do other places besides Audubon Country Club offer these kind of courses?
I couldn't find one in Chicago, but there are all over the country there are these programs. Additionally, your insurance company may have programs, not necessarily hands-on, that can reduce the amount of your insurance if your kid completes the course.
Well, if you want to read the entire piece, which is a great piece and very descriptive and gives you a lot of detail, just go to the cgdailydrive.com, and it's up there. So are you still feeling okay about your daughter driving, Tom?
I actually feel a little bit better now. She's been driving to school all last week, and I guess everything went fine.
Okay. Okay, cool. Another piece that you wrote, and I love these pieces that you write for the Daily Drive blog, 10 Great Car Grills. Now, this is a visual, folks, so you really need to check this out. You need to go to cgdailydrive.com and check it out. And you, what was it about these the grills of the cars that you wanted to showcase?
I think what I really like is just the boldness of some of these.
Yeah.
And so much so that one of them has the best nickname ever, and that's the 38 to 39 gram nickname, the Shark Nose.
Yeah.
That's a fabulous looking car.
Fantastic. It's a great looking car. And for those people who you saw the movie Tucker, the Torpedo is also here.
Yeah, that's a great looking car.
It's
great.
And it also, that middle headlight moves, if I remember the movie correctly.
That's correct. Yeah, they didn't have an engine up front, so they could do all sorts of stuff with the grill up front. Yeah, they put a central headlight that turned with the front wheels.
There are so many cool, I'm telling you, I love this thing because there are so many cool looking grills. Let me tell you what I think my favorite is of all of them. And, I mean, despite the fact that I love you've got the 67, 68 Firebird in here, which is just a badass looking car just in general.
Yeah, I agree.
But I love the 63 to 65 Buick Riviera. I just think that is such cool-looking car.
It actually looks a little bit like a superhero flying with like a fist in the air. I love that car so much.
Yeah, it's beautiful. That's a great one. And then what else? What are some of the other ones that you got in here? You have the Catalina and the Bonneville, Pontiac Catalina and the Bonneville from 1967.
Yeah.
It says, I know I'm going to hear about it. What does that mean? Is it a bad rep for this car?
No, Pontiac fans are crazy. And if you're a Pontiac fan, you're listening right now, I'm calling you out. Pontiac fans are crazy. And they give no quarter on their favorite cars and don't want to hear about your favorite Pontiac.
Okay. Well, this is a cool-looking car. Describe the grill to the people here.
Yeah, it's got the stacked headlights on sort of a radius that bends in with a linear dividing line across the center. And you've got grill below it and body color paint above it. Very aggressive, very bold, lots of bright work. It just really screams Pontiac to me.
Yeah, it's a great-looking car. It really is. How about this? The 68-69 Oldsmobile Toronado. And I love that you said that you opened this up with, had Jim Rockford gone into business a little bit sooner or had been a little better financed, he might have driven a Toronado.
Yeah, and just to underscore that point, the dude in that picture wearing a cool jacket.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is a very, very unusual looking car, though.
It really is, yeah. You don't see the headlights. It's got the concealed headlights going on. When you do see them, they're really far inboard. So you have the outsides bracketed by all sorts of chrome and cornering lights, which is interesting and not very traditional.
Yeah. You went with the 61 to 73 Volvo. You went with the Volvo P1800 here, which you describe as the happy-face grill.
It's a happy-face grill, and a lot of European cars look like that, but they go a little bit further with it. That's a very strong chrome border around that border, around the grill, and you've got big chrome headlights and the big chrome bumper and the little cornering lights underneath it. Also, this was a car that Simon Templer drove in the original Saint.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so people might know this car.
All right. 6892 Jaguar XJ, Series 1, 2, and 3. That's an interesting front for the car there.
It really is, and it changed a lot over those years, but it's always unmistakably that particular car. You've got the big outside lights, the smaller inside lights, and the sort of trapezoidal grille. Beautiful thing, and somehow it manages to not look overwrought. You would think all that chrome would make it look heavy, but it really doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's cool looking. And then finally, 70 to 73 Pontiac Firebird, please. What can you say?
You can't. You got
to
love it.
You have to love it. And you also wrote about the intermediate sedans of 1971. Were you just going through the old consumer guides in 1971?
That is exactly what I did.
And I have to say this, 1971, you mentioned the Ford Torino. That's my dad had that car, right? I think he had it. I think it was a 71.
Yeah, people then were Torino men or they were Malibu men. I'm sorry, Chevelle men, and they did not cross over.
No, my dad had. It was a red Torino. It actually looked a lot like Starsky's car.
Ooh.
Yeah. But I remember my dad would drive around like a lunatic in that thing. He was like in his 20s at that time. You know, he was early 30s, and he was driving around like a maniac in that thing.
They had, unbelievably, those had a reputation for good handling. It's weird to me to think that any car back then handled well. But
yeah, 1971 and the AMC Matador.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Kind of forgotten. AMC people, also crazy.
So Pontiac and AMC, crazy.
Yeah.
All right. We'll keep that in mind. Tom, always a pleasure. And everybody should check out all the stuff that you write about cgdailydrive.com, particularly just so you can see the pictures of those great cars on the great car grills. Always a pleasure, Tom. Have a great month, and I'll talk to you next month.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, take care. There you go. Tom Appel, everybody, always joins us once a month to talk cars and to answer your questions. We'll take a break. We got the news coming up next.